he seems like a like he's like a loud I can't call him a large adult son, but he's kind of like a large adult dad at this point.
Okay.
And like he hoots and hollers, and I don't know. I just think he's
large adult dad is one of my new favorite. Adult dad is V strong. Episode 104 of There Is No Offseason, a baseball prospectus daily podcast focusing solely on Fantasy Keeper and Dynasty League formats. I am your host, Ben Carsley of the BP Fantasy Team, and I am joined once again by BP's minor league editor, Craig Goldstein. Hello, Craig.
Hey, haven't gotten rid of me yet.
No, 2 weeks in a row of just you and me. No dad here to supervise.
Yeah, well, you know, I think once you got a taste of not being around us, it was intoxicating.
How long or how many weeks in a row do we have to do this before people start getting concerned about Brett's whereabouts?
I don't know. I think as long as he keeps tweeting photoshopped images of the baseball crank, people won't be worried.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that was my artistic.
I know it was.
Which unprompted too, just like on a whim. It was very weird. But it doesn't make me any less proud of it.
Yeah, I think it was good work.
All right, so it's going to be a shorter episode tonight, but we are going to go over some current events and sort of discuss our last gasp relevant Dynasty news before the season begins. Then we'll do a quick spot on preseason picks, and we will get out of here in a timely manner. But Craig, we don't have structure even when we try to, and we didn't really put any effort at all into this one. So I'll kick it to you to start current events. Where do you want to begin with? There's really no way to structure this.
Yeah, we have not kind of gone over this stuff in a while. I mean, I think we should probably start on the negative side of things. A lot of injuries going around.
A lot of injuries.
The biggest one probably in the immediate and long term is Madison Bumgarner. Broken hand. I'm not sure. He wasn't even really trying to field the ball with his hand. I think it just kind of caught his hand. And so that's a pretty devastating blow for a guy who was out for an extended period of time last year. We just talked about him last week on the when we were doing the betting stuff. I thought he was actually a pretty decent bet for Cy Young. I think that's out the window at this point. But broken hand is pitching hand is a problem. He's going to be out quite a while, and there's no really good fantasy replacement waiting in the wings. I think Ty Block is getting the opening day start, which should tell you kind of what's going on with the Giants. I know they actually had a decent offseason in terms of trying to remain competitive and not doing the teardown that a lot of other teams are doing, but This kind of sinks the ship, along with the fact that they're starting Gorkys Hernandez and Gregor Blanco, I think, opening day. So
it was I don't think it was a full 48 hours between us endorsing Bumgarner as a solid NL Cy Young by low bet.
Are you saying that there's a Tino curse?
I think
can we get that going? I feel like
from here on out, there very well could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, the Giants are – we'll talk about this a little bit more when we get into preseason picks, but – this is the problem with sort of trying to pry that contention window open, is it only takes one thing to go wrong for that window to shut a lot faster than you want it to. So another big boo-boo that only came down today was Sal Perez, torn MCL, probably going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Sort of the rare position where the Royals' overall suckiness didn't really impact his value as a fantasy player. Obviously, you might want to ding him a little bit in runs and RBI, but overall,
you weren't really getting runs from Sal Perez anyway. Yeah, let's be real.
Exactly. Very fair. So overall, I would argue definitely one of the steadier presences at catcher. And, you know, he's not going to probably be much of a factor for you through May at this point. God, there just really aren't many reasons to watch the Royals at all this year, huh?
No. I mean, there's if you were really dedicated to Mike Moustakas, I guess.
Yeah.
If you're a Whit Merrifield fan.
I think Whit Merrifield might be kind of real, or more real than we give him credit for.
Sure. I'm not tuning into a game to watch him.
Well, no. Let me
paint you a picture. It's a week into the season. The Royals and Tigers are your day game. Are you even turning in? Tuning in, I should say.
Neither, frankly.
Yeah. No.
So I was going to ask you if there are any, like, decent catching...
I'm going with Drew Butera as a replacement. We should point that out.
That is good. I was going to ask you if you like any sort of sleeper catchers for just this year, but as someone who recently got catcher fucked in a redraft league just yesterday and had to settle for Jonathan Lucroy in the penultimate round.
Sure.
There really aren't. I guess I would say, you know, if you're in a 10 or 12 team league and you owned Perez and this happens, maybe roll the dice on Jorge Alfaro because he's not really going in redraft leagues. And he's someone who I think could at least, you know, mash 20 homers this year. But it is pretty bleak. It is pretty bleak behind the plate.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like in a deeper league, maybe Tucker Barnhart or something.
No.
I know it's bad. But that's the situation.
No, you're not wrong. I just am in pain.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Iannetta is in Colorado. That might
Christian Vasquez might hit for an empty average with some runs.
Recently extended
Christian Vasquez. Yes, that's.
I don't know what it says that we're at a point in the offseason where Christian Vasquez is getting like multi-year extensions.
Well, he was extended for like $7, but yes, the point. The
it's
point.
Still weird.
That's true.
Very you
true.
Really had to lock that down.
Oh man, you know what? We watched enough years of Jared Toltolomachia that we do really have to lock that down.
Fair point.
So just to round out the frowny face news, AJ Puck, just because he's a pitching prospect and God hates us.
Yeah.
He's going to need Tommy John surgery. I don't know what the numbers are at this point, like statistically, which will shock no one listening to this podcast, but at what point do you just start baking in 18 months of missed time for pitching prospects, no matter who they are?
I mean, I don't know. 18 months feels aggressive. I think he'll be back next year, but I'm more on like the 15 month timetable.
That's very optimistic.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's just sad.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real bummer. I don't know. I'm not, the only reason I'm reluctant to do 18 months is like, that's two full seasons. Is that really where we're at? I thought there was some new procedure that shortened the timetable. So one of the Cardinals pitchers had it.
No, I'm not as argumentative over the timetable as I am just the fact that
literally everyone's hurt. I mean, it's
Pop. Yeah, exactly. If you were to ask me, you know, who are obviously the two best pitching prospects, well, not obviously, but in my opinion, the two best pitching prospects were Reyes and Kopech heading into the year, but really, you know, that tier right after them were Honeywell and Puck and Mitch Keller, guys who you maybe could, you know, legitimately see throwing 100 MLB or 120 MLB innings this year. And those guys just are dropping like flies.
Yeah. It's a real bummer too, because I mean, the A's, they weren't going to contend really, but if you had even an outside chance at, you know, being in the wild card two conversation, you could see it potentially with, you know, with Manaea, and if Puck came up and gave him serviceable innings along with Kendall Graveman or something like that. Like he was at least a major factor in terms of if you wanted to dream. I don't think you can even dream as an A's fan right now, which is a bummer.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wasn't dreaming before, but I think you're right. I think any optimism you even wanted to feign at this point, you have to just give up on.
Yeah, speaking of not feigning optimism, Nate Eovaldi gonna miss a little time.
God.
Just talking to you about the Rays, there's not even a chance for optimism.
Did you see that video of when the Philadelphia Eagles were playing the Vikings? Did you see there's like a video of an older, maybe a grandma Vikings fan who's like talking down to like a 19-year-old Eagles fan, and he just like leans backward and yells, "Go Birds!" Like she's like she has like a very like concrete argument, and he's just like, "Go Birds!" I am Go Birds guy, except I yell "Raise Tank." That's just me. Just everyone I meet, I run up to them and I lean backwards and I yell "Raise Tank." So obviously I am not happy for Nate Eovaldi that he's hurt again, but "Raise Tank."
So where are we? Are they down to like a 2-man rotation yet? What's the situation?
It's Chris Archer, Blake Snell, Jacob Faria, and
George is getting mad because we're not talking about Yoni Chirinos right now.
That's not a thing. So I don't care.
Yoni Chirinos and Ryan Yarbrough. When you're taking on,
I thought Ryan Yarbrough was a Angels second base prospect.
Close enough. Number one, but he is a failed, or I shouldn't say failed, but former Mariners pitching prospect, which should tell you
all. Wow, so failed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hashtag Yarbrough.
No, George,
Hat tip, Rotolando.
God damn it. I miss Rotolando. Yeah, so the Rays are in a dire situation. They also lost Jose De Leon. I guess we could talk about that too. He's down for the year, Tommy John surgery. Not a big surprise, really, because he's been hurt kind of continually. I guess the last big one was, did you see it, the Greg Bird injury, or not the injury, but this, what they described when he underwent surgery?
Oh, the coin like removal, the
coin size deposit.
Of that was my good tweet.
You have so many, Ben.
And I have reconsidered the phrasing. I should have gone with, something more akin to "not the first time a shilling at a bloody ankle of wrecked."
Oh yes,
that would have been better. Yeah. But no, I wouldn't care to have a unit of currency removed from one of my ligaments. Doesn't seem like the most fun.
Yeah, it was quite the phrasing. Was really my takeaway there. I don't know, because there are different sized coins, I would point out.
Is it a half dollar?
Yeah, right.
Is it a dime? That's the fancy.
Yeah.
It's a big difference.
So I guess Tyler Austin is the backup first baseman, or they're going to go with like a combination of Neil Walker and Tyler Austin or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, if I were the Yankees, I would probably err on the side of Walker and Drury.
So maybe Drury at third, Walker at first, Tyler Wade at second. I guess it opens up a little time for Tyler Wade or something like that.
Yeah, potentially something like that. But
he's interesting. He can run a little bit.
Well, especially in fantasy. I was going to say, I think he's more interesting in fantasy than IRL.
I'm not trying to watch Tyler Wade. I'm just trying to benefit from some steals here.
Well, this is a podcast focusing solely on Fantasy Keeper and Dynasty League formats. So
that's right. Daily podcast. Yeah.
I can't really think of any other prominent injuries. Mark Melanson's probably going to be hurt, but... are probably going to start the year on the DL. But
more good news for the Giants.
For the Giants, exactly. But that's pretty much all I can think of right now.
Yeah. So let's. We have some prospects who made opening day rosters. Yeah. Not a ton. We have two Cardinals. Jack Flaherty, I think, who was up last year. He'll be in the Cardinals rotation. I think Alex Reyes on the flip side is starting the year on the DL, but I don't think that's a big deal. He's still coming back from Tommy John. I don't think that's he's like re-injured. I think he's just opening the year on the DL. We've talked about Flaherty before. He's kind of your standard middle of the rotation fare. I don't think he's going to miss a ton of bats. He's not someone I'd be dying to jump on in fantasy leagues. Hicks is an interesting guy. He's not going to be in the closer role immediately. He was a starter in the minors, upper 90s. I mean, I've had scouts tell me like some of the best raw stuff in the minors. And then he was coming in as a reliever in spring training, hitting 99-103. So that's going to catch the attention of the Cardinals brass. And he's breaking camp with them. I don't think they're going to be afraid to take other starters and in terms of prospects and put them in the major league bullpen, you know, if their unit isn't getting the job done, I think he has a chance to be at the back of a bullpen relatively soon. I mean, there's Gregerson is not. I think is he opening the year on the DL?
He is, but it's supposed to be short term.
Yeah, it's short, but you know, Dominic Leone, I think is actually pretty good and interesting reliever. And he's sharing the role with Tyler Lyons right now. But like, you know, these aren't like, as much as I like Leone as an interesting reliever, these are not dominant names. I think a guy who throws, you know, 100 miles an hour with a decent breaking ball and has a semblance of command, he has a general idea where it's going, you know, that's a guy who could absolutely fly to the back of a bullpen. So,
I mean, I can't think of any former Cardinals pitcher in recent history who has thrown in the high 90s to low 100s and has been labeled as having great stuff but couldn't quite figure it out as a starter, who didn't go on to widely acclaimed fantasy success.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so I think Jordan Hicks is absolutely a lock to be closing.
I like it. The big one is Scott Kingery.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I might be wrong, but that's the only deal for someone before playing the game at all, right? It's the first one. I know Longoria played like.
I was going to bring up Longoria. Yeah, maybe.
John Singleton.
Oh, Singleton, right? Good, that worked out extremely well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I mean, I think let's talk about the fantasy implications first, quickly, and then I actually do want to ask you a little bit about the sort of just broader game implications. But I think maybe the most interesting thing, but look, Kingery can run, and I think that I think his ability to run actually gets undersold a little bit just because everybody was so surprised by the power. But for me, you know, anything beyond 10, 12 home runs is a plus. For me, Kingery's, carrying fantasy tool is his ability to run quite a bit. So I think he's going to be tremendously useful that way. And, you know, you can't really, I haven't heard a bad thing about him in 6 to 9 months at this point. But another really interesting component is that he could end up with multi-position eligibility because
I think he's like a lock.
Yeah, the Phillies seem pretty intent on not entirely displacing Hernandez at second and instead using Kingery, you know, at second and at third and potentially in the outfield as well. So he could end up being a sort of wildly interesting and pretty unique fantasy asset.
Yeah, I think you're dead on. Whatever he's not getting in the short term in terms of at bats, I think he's going to make up for in terms of the ability to kind of plug in everywhere. I think there, you could see production kind of similar. This is off the top of my head, so tell me if you think I'm out in left field on this. But early 2017 production from like Chris Owings, you know what I mean? And like he's a guy who plays second and short and the outfield. And I could see them doing that with Kingery, and he's going to hit for a little bit of average. He has, you know, the power stuck with him in spring training, whether that's, you know, the major league ball versus the minor league ball or whatever. I don't think he's necessarily like a 25 home run hitter, but I don't think he needs to be either. I mean, you know, as you were saying, like he came out of college as a speed first guy. So and I think that's going to be the more valuable aspect of his game no matter what.
No, I think that's dead on. And like, you know, it's funny, we already brought this guy up a little bit, but I think that you could easily end up with a situation in where Kingery is like a good version of Whit Merrifield that you can bank on every year, which might sound like an insult, but you know, Merrifield hit 19 homers and stole 34 bases last year.
It's a monster year, really.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not saying you expect that from Kingery right away, but if you told me Kingery was going to be a 15-30 guy 5 out of the next 8 years, that wouldn't be crazy to me.
No, I agree. As long as he gets the playing time, yeah.
So real quick before we dive into some other guys from a fantasy perspective, what is give me your hot take on the Kingery deal, because we saw a lot of, oh, this is, you know, smart for a guy like this to just, you know, make his fortune before anything else happens. A lot of yet another deal where the owner is getting the better end. My hot take is that I think it's just kind of in the middle of those two extremes, but you know, what do you find interesting about this deal? Cause it certainly is a unique case.
Yeah. I actually think I have kind of two separate thoughts, and we can go a little bit deep on one of them, I think. But the first one, I think you're right. It's probably in the middle. I saw a lot of initial reactions saying it was an absolute steal for ownership, for the Phillies, and all of that. I don't think that's necessarily the case. So first of all, you have to factor in that he saved himself a year. So he gave up on the option years, 3 years of free agency. But yeah, he also is getting one of those free agent years a year sooner than he otherwise would have.
Right.
Like by being on the roster opening day and not being sent down for 2 weeks or whatever, one of those free agent years he's getting paid for it, right? At a little bit below market rate, but he would have been probably well below market rate if he was in his fourth year of arbitration. Or maybe not well below, but around or below it, right? So that's one factor. He's getting $24 million guaranteed. That's over the first 6 years, which he's under control anyway, as we're just talking about. Averaging $4 million a year is not a bad situation. He got a raise in each of his first 3 years. Like they could renew him at, you know, basically around $540,000 to $550,000 a year those first 3 years. And he's getting like $1 million, $1.5 million, and $2 million. So he's getting money up front there. And then I forget the exact breakdown, but the rest of the time he's either at or kind of above what you would probably reasonably expect for a second baseman in terms of guaranteed years over guaranteed money over arb years. I think mm-hmm. it's something like $20 million, right? In over those arb years, and I don't know that a second baseman has eclipsed $18 million.
So that's what I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think he's getting 22 and the record was 18 or something like that.
Yeah, I think that might be right. So it's something like that. And so that's actually pretty good. Like all of that works out pretty good for Kingery. And then you have the three option years, and I think they're 12, 13, and 14, something like that. You know, if he's as good as we think he can be, those are going to be really valuable option years. But he's also – the other thing to factor in here is that he's 24 this year, right? So he's older than a lot of, like, these top prospects that we've seen. So he was going to hit at the earliest – again, if he doesn't sign this deal, they have him for essentially 7 years. He's not going to hit free agency till after his age 31 season. And that's a problem. So he basically gave up his 31, 32, and 33 seasons – but at maybe a little bit of a discount, but he kind of locked in enough money to make himself secure the rest of his life. So,
and this is from what we know about him right now, sure, maybe he's a on again, off again all-star for the better part of 7 years, but this is not a former number one pick. This is not a guy who comes.
This is not a top 10 prospect.
Exactly. Right? This is not a guy who comes 30. From a long and storied history of being a pedigree prospect. A little bit of a pop-up guy.
Although his dad did play in the majors. We should give him that.
Sure, but he individually was not really viewed as a blue-chip prospect until this year, and has not done it at all at the major league level. So,
yeah, he's never bad. You know, like second-round pick, always interesting, but not blue-chipper.
Exactly. So, overall, I'm with you in that I really think it comes closer to fair than a steal for either side.
Yeah, I think there's risk and reward for both sides, and I think that's pretty good. The flip side of this, I said there were two things, is that, you know, as much as I think this is pretty fair, you know, there's also the Ketel Marte extension that we saw, and I think it's just interesting to see these guys get locked up early, and I'm wondering how much teams are leveraging the fact that free agency went so badly for guys into locking them into these deals. I have not, you know, dug into the specifics on Marte's deal like I did with Kingery, so I don't know that specifically, but it's interesting to me, and I think it's something that just, again, this is not fantasy-oriented, but just the union's going to have to think about, because it's almost always going to make sense for these individual guys to take the risk off the table and take a slightly below market or even maybe more than slightly below market deal, because again, they're getting life-changing money. I think Zach Buchanan of The Athletic, who's covering the Diamondbacks, tweeted and wrote about this and said, you know, part of the reason Marte did this deal was, like, he did not come from a you know, a wealthy background, and basically his family needed the money. He needed it for his immediate family and I think his mother, and like that of course is going to matter. And so it's great that the Diamondbacks were willing to extend him and he's able to fix that, but it might, you know, if you're the Players Association, it's a potential problem long term if everyone's buying into these individual, you know, have individual reasons for taking below market deals. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an interesting thing, and we'll see how, you know, it plays out against the backdrop of this pending massive free agency with a bunch of superstars. And then, you know, there's obviously been a lot of discontent with Tony Clark and the union after this offseason. So I just thought that was an interesting angle as well. I don't know if you have thoughts on it.
No, I mean, I think you summed it up pretty well. And I think it's going to be a very interesting trend to watch. And I think your point about teams potentially looking to take advantage of this very strange offseason is a good one.
Yeah.
So in terms of other fairly interesting prospects who are called up, I can think of Ryan McMahon, which isn't a huge surprise, but is very good news considering the environment and the lineup. Not clear.
He was up at the end of last year, right?
Yes, he was.
But he made the opening day roster.
Right, which isn't like a huge surprise, but you know there was competition for that spot. So he ends up even as the short side of that platoon at first, he will have some fantasy value right away, which is pretty good.
Yeah, well, he's lefty, so he shouldn't be.
I'm sorry, strong side.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Can't think of anybody else who's a big surprise off the top of my head. Chance Sisko made the Orioles.
That was a positive, but he's going to be a backup.
Right, and you want to say that won't last for long, but given that,
who knows?
A, it's catcher and defense matters more than usual, and B, it's Buck Showalter. It wouldn't shock me if he only ends up with 200 plate appearances this year. Obviously, I hope that's not the case because I am a big Sisko apologist. But you know, good to see him make the roster.
Deservedly so, I think.
Right.
I just one small note. I know we talked about Kingery obviously a lot. I think I saw something today that said 10 of the Phillies 25 man roster are going to be celebrating their first opening day.
That's crazy.
That's nuts. Just between, you know, it's going to be Hoskins and Williams and Alfaro and Crawford. And I guess we didn't really talk about Alfaro. They designated Cameron Rupp for assignment. So he's the guy from day one, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, we've only been talking about him for 7 years now.
Yeah. So. You don't have to expound on it. I thought that was like, he's there. You know, it seemed like,
no, it's a nice vote of confidence.
It wasn't
a guy who didn't make camp, but I think is, you know, probably only for manipulation purposes. Franklin Barreto hit the crap out of the ball all spring, and was clearly one of the, you know, clearly one of the nine or so best players on that team. So he's not up right now, fine, but I have a hard time believing he won't be up by the middle of May.
Yeah, and Dustin Fowler, kind of the same thing.
Yes.
Yep. I think he's still getting into shaking off the rust from his injury. He missed a lot of time last year, obviously, but I don't think Boog Powell is long for that center field job.
That's a hot take. I need.
Yeah, no, I know. Slow me down. But I don't know.
Off the top of our heads, I mean, other guys we think will be up fairly soon. Acuna, obviously. Yep. Willie Calhoun, I would think, will be up before not too
Francisco
long.
Francisco Mejia.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, we should. This is not Lewis Brinson made the opening day roster.
Oh yes, you're right. He did.
So that's a fun one.
Right, and I don't think. I mean, correct. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I don't know how optimistic either of us are that the initial impact will be huge, but he doesn't have a ton left to learn in AAA. So you'd rather see him learn at the majors.
Yeah, and I mean we're gonna get into predictions, but like I have him for our BP predictions. I put him as the NL Rookie of the Year. Oh, well, I put him behind Acuna, but...
Gotcha.
He's one of my...
That's an interesting pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's up all year, which I think helps.
Mm-hmm.
But we can get into that a little bit. Are you upset that that they didn't keep Enya on the opening day roster?
I mean, it's one of those situations where, like, you can't really blame the team for taking advantage of the rule. You need to address the rule itself. because on pure talent alone, Enya deserved it.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome back to episode 104 of Tino. We hope you used that break to make your favorite baseball team's opening day roster. So before we head out tonight, just because tis the season, we thought that we would quickly review our picks for each division winner, World Series winner, and the winner of some of the major awards. These will all be going live. What for us is tomorrow on Baseball Prospectus, which is Thursday the 29th. Depending on when this podcast is released, might be a day or two after that. But just know that we are doing this before the first game of the season. So that's how bold we are.
In before opening day.
In before opening day, indeed. Okay, so Craig, am I correct in assuming that we both have the Astros, Indians, Dodgers, Cubs, and Nationals as the winners of their respective divisions?
You are correct.
And who do you have in the AL East?
I have your Boston Red Sox.
I have the New York Yankees.
Oh, boy.
And do you know why that is, Craig?
Because that way you can be right either way. You can be happy either way.
No, it's if you take the rosters at face value right now, I think they're very even, and I'd actually give a slight push to the Red Sox, but I think the Yankees are much better positioned to add talent as the year goes on.
That's actually a great point.
So if we were doing a pure power ranking at this moment, I think I would also have the Red Sox first.
I don't know, but okay. So I assume you're taking advantage. Well, so my only problem, you say right now, isn't like Hector Velasquez in the rotation right now?
Okay, but I mean, if you had to lock like organizations, like teams could only, you know, use whoever is in their organization at the moment moving forward.
Okay.
You're right. That is fair. Not opening day rosters, but sort of within the org.
Yeah.
Then I agree with you that the Red Sox have a very slight edge, but the Yankees just have such a better farm system and they have more salary room, which is a weird thing to say.
If I can be real about it, I vacillated. I switched it and then I switched it back. I don't like the Yankees and I don't want them to win.
That's very fair. And I do have the Red Sox as a wild card team, as I'm assuming you do with the Yankees.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think they're very clearly those. I think those four teams in the AL are basically locks.
Yeah. I mean, I've yelled about this on Twitter before, but for me, the AL sort of pecking order is Astros, Gap, Indians, Yankees, Red Sox, Gap, and then you know, Twins, Angels, Blue Jays, what have you.
So I guess that might be a little revealing. I was going to ask, who is your second wild card?
My second wild card team is the Twins because I think the Angels have just a terrifying rotation in terms of, I don't know who the hell they're going to get quality innings out of.
Can I tell you I made some poor decisions tonight?
I'm all here for that.
Yeah. Seattle Mariners.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't think the Twins are right there yet. I think they're 1 year away. And so then I was down to the Mariners and the Angels. And we've talked about the Angels rotation. It's horrifying. They're going to do like a 6-man thing because of Ohtani. Blake Parker is their closer. Like, their bullpen's a nightmare.
No, it's not good. It's not good.
And like, at least the Mariners have Edwin Diaz, I guess. I don't know. I'm not at all confident in it. But like, I don't know. I looked at our playoff odds. Our playoff odds have the Mariners with more wins than the Angels. I don't know. I kind of just, like, as I said, it's a bad decision situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I gotta be honest. They were not even really the next up for me.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you had the Twins and the Angels. Who was after for you? The Blue Jays?
Yeah, I think I would take the Blue Jays over the Mariners. I actually had the Mariners finishing behind the Rangers, but that to me is like, you know, whatever, coin toss. But that's more where I have the Mariners playing than close to wild card contention.
Yeah, I'm really, like, I have concerns about the Blue Jays lineup.
Yeah, I do too. I do too, but I think their rotation is substantially better than the Mariners.
Yeah. Oh, I mean it is. The Mariners rotation is not in a good situation.
All right, so bouncing over to the NL, obviously, you know,
NL's far more interesting. Do you want to do the AL individual awards?
Yeah, sure. Okay, we can do that instead. I had Mike Trout. Yep. Who were your 2 and 3?
I went with Lindor and Correa.
I went with Lindor and Betts.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I almost didn't do Correa because there are a lot of good Astros. That's actually why I ended up putting Lindor ahead. The Indians also have many good players, but I think if anyone's getting anything on that team, it's Lindor.
Yeah, no, I very much agree with your thought process. It's actually, quite frankly, why I didn't have Altuve.
Yeah, I don't know. Boy, wow, I probably should have put Altuve. This has been a rough realization for me as we go.
I mean, part of it is you want to like shoot your shot, right? It's pretty boring. It's pretty boring to put exactly who did everything last year. So we both agree that Francisco Lindor will be the runner-up in the AL MVP.
Yeah, exactly. Mark it down now.
My top three for Cy, and this a very hot take.
We're gonna have the same top two. I'm pretty sure.
I went Sale, Kluber, Verlander.
Yeah. Okay, so I went Sale, Kluber, and I didn't want to pick Verlander, so I picked Keuchel.
That's okay. Okay, I don't really think that needs any more discussion.
Yeah.
Rookie of the year.
It's an interesting one. It's not a great crop, I got to be honest.
It's not. I bet you we both took our faves.
Okay, so who'd you go with at the top?
Barreto.
I went with Mejia.
I had Mejia second.
So I don't have Barreto on there, and I don't know why. I don't have a good answer for that. I went with Mejia, Calhoun, and Gleyber Torres. Here's a big question.
Calhoun's a good... Crap, I forgot Calhoun.
Yeah, do you have Shohei Ohtani?
No, I don't.
Oh, me either. Okay, see, I thought we were going to get into something about that.
No, so what's he's looked like crap, and I think he's going to need a year or two to really figure it out.
I think so too.
I went Barreto, Mejia, Kopech just because...
Kopech's not a bad one.
If, you know, even if Kopech gets 15, 16 starts, if he is striking out, you know, 12 per 9... I think those are the type of things that tend to catch voter eyes a little bit more.
Yeah, I did not pick a pitcher in either of the year.
Frankly, I want to change Kopech to Calhoun immediately.
You might still have time.
It's on the clock. Yeah, I mean, it's on the record now. I'm going to let it ride.
All right, sure. All right, so is there anyone... So we mentioned probably, what, like 8 different guys between our 2 top threes. Like, is there anyone else that was really in consideration for you?
For rookie of the year?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the most interesting one, kind of.
I mean, obviously, I thought about Torres. I'm just not really sure where the at-bats will come from now that the Yankees made all these depth pieces.
Yeah.
So I like Torres a lot, but that's what just nudged it out of the way. For me, I vaguely considered Austin Hayes just because... You know, great lineup, great home ballpark, but they also seem content to bury him for a little while and show off.
Yeah, they sent him to Double-A.
Yeah,
of all things, like not even Triple-A. So that was one that pushed me off of him.
And Showalter is not a rookie friendly manager. I think Calhoun is a phenomenal pick, but other than that, I'm pretty content with the names we mentioned.
Were you gonna have Honeywell on yours before the injury?
No. No. Just because he wasn't going to win any games anyway. Puck would have been more interesting, I think.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
Okay, so NL now.
Yes.
So we talked the top three. So what were your wild card picks? Because I think this one's actually kind of interesting.
So my first wild card is the Arizona Diamondbacks, who I think they're a fucking good team.
Yeah, they're a really good team. They're my top ones.
They might be, IMO, the most underrated team in baseball right now.
I could see it.
And I had a really tough time with my second team because I really vacillated between this team and the Cardinals and the Brewers and the Rockies. But I actually went with your New York Mets as my second wildcard team.
Yeah, I think they're right in that mix. I went with the Brewers. The Diamondbacks are really interesting, right? Like, I think they're a very good team, as you said. The lineup shouldn't have any real problems, even with Steven Souza out. I think once he gets back, Chris Owings as like a guy that plugs in kind of everywhere is a really good option. The only concern I really have with the Diamondbacks is, well, number one, they're going with Brad Boxberger at closer, which is, I don't have a problem with Archie Bradley not being the closer, but I just kind of wish there was someone a little better than Boxberger as the closer. And number two, there is the rotation depth once you get past the top five is concerning.
I agree, but I feel that and way like, about most wild card teams. Make it, you know?
What's that?
I agree, but I feel that way about most wild card teams.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Like, who's their sixth starter? Do you know?
Is it Braden Shipley?
Yes, it is.
It's not good.
It's not good. And, like, beyond that, it's, you know, I mean, Taylor Clark is an interesting – it's maybe Chris Medlin. Can we harken back to 2000? Yeah, exactly.
God, hurry up, John Duplantier.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, like, that's the only concern I have with them. But they are really good. So I went with the Brewers. What made you pick the Mets?
Top-end talent. So I think the Brewers and Cardinals and even the Rockies are deeper than the Mets. But if all that talent clicks for the Mets or even, you know, 70% of that talent clicks for the Mets – they just have a lot of really fucking good high-end talent, you know. Thor, DeGrom, Cespedes, Conforto. I'm a big Ahmed Rosario guy. I know we've talked about him a lot on the podcast.
I'm an MVP. Yeah.
MVP candidate, Jay Bruce. So I think the Mets, it's easy to make lulz Mets jokes, but their star power does afford them a higher margin for error than most teams, which is good because they'll need it because they're the Mets. But they have a lot of players who sort of stood out for me.
And of all things, like they do kind of have some rotation depth. It's not the best, right. But like you're talking about bodies. 6 and 7 starters in the first place. Like, you know, they could try Gazelman back in the rotation. Zach Wheeler's down at AAA to start the year. Like, you know, they have more than all of the other. Well, the Rockies, I guess, have some depth, but who knows?
But they have better than Braden Shipley.
Better than Braden Shipley. Better than the Brewers' depth, really.
I agree.
I like the Brewers, and I understand what they're doing with their rotation. But, like, you know, I'd rather the Mets' 6th and 7th starter than, like, Brandon Woodruff or whoever.
The Brewers are just really disappointing to me because Arrieta exactly, and I get it, but it's just infuriating to me because they did everything else right.
Yeah, they actually went for it, and they had the budget room, like they had the payroll room, which was frustrating.
You know who's actually going to get the second wild card spot, right?
The Cardinals.
Yeah, it's going to be the Cardinals.
It's
fate. And we're all going to fucking hate it.
That's who I picked.
They're going to get the second wild card, and then
Alex Reyes
is going to be incredible and start the play-in game, and they're just going to rampage through the playoffs.
And the last shot we'll ever see of Bryce Harper in a Nationals uniform is going to be him on all fours in the dirt as fucking game, Paul DeJong celebrates
the NLDS.
Yeah, Paul DeJong is spraying championship champagne on fucking Bryce Harper.
Yairo Munoz comes up with like a monster hit somehow.
Exactly. Off of Scherzer. Yeah.
Yeah. Who's pitching his like 40th inning of the NLDS alone.
That'll be how it goes.
Oh God. Did you have to consider the Phillies at all?
I had them third in the NL East. I did not consider them for wild card. I think they are definitely a step behind those teams we mentioned.
Yeah, a year away. But they're interesting. I had them third in the NL East as well.
They're fun as hell.
Yeah. Let me tell you something that happened here. I apparently have the Padres over the Giants in the NL West. That's a mistake.
That shouldn't be what happens.
But it's going in like that.
You believe in it?
I think it's locked at this point. So.
Oh, it is. Wait, you know what? Okay, this is an aside that none of our listeners will find interesting, but I think that might be a problem with the system because when I checked today, that happened to me as well.
Oh, good. Well, you know what? I'm a Dodgers fan.
Fuck the Giants, right? It's a hot take.
It's a hot take. It's the Padres here. Franchi Cordero, the next Aaron Judge, is he's going to lead them right into fourth place. I believe.
I have the Rays in last place in the AL East, and I didn't mean to do that. Absolutely.
I actually have them in last place as well.
Yeah, you know why? Trash.
Base tank. Well, I think when they're down to the 2-man rotation by midseason, it's going to be a real problem.
I'm excited for my Rays hitless comment. Felt good.
So individual awards. MVP. Yeah. Who'd you get?
I know everyone's going to pick Bryce Harper, and I said, fuck that. So I'm taking Nolan Arenado.
Oh, I like that. I went with Chris Bryant. So we both went with a third baseman.
Yep.
My second is Corey Seager. I homered out. I
went with that's Corey fine. Seager. My second is Paul Goldschmidt, since I had the Diamondbacks making the playoffs.
Makes sense. And my third was Bryce Harper. I had to put him on the list.
My third was Chris Bryant. So
okay. Oh, wow. You went completely off list.
Yeah, I mean, just mostly because everyone else would have him, and also because of the injury history. But honestly, mostly because everybody else had him.
And I'm kind of the only reason I like forced myself to include him was like, and look, I know there's not like statistical proof for this, but like Walker.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could have a monster year. And he was actually like his year last year was fantastic. So it's
really good.
Yeah, turns out who would, no one saw it coming. People forget.
Pop-up guy.
Pop-up guy. Okay, Cy Young, I put Kershaw first. I'm always going to put Kershaw first.
Yeah, I went out of the box like, and I did Kershaw.
Yeah, like until he's actually bad and doesn't just miss time, I'm going to put him first.
He and Trout are just default for me.
Yep, that's a default. So I put DeGrom second.
So did I.
Yeah, I think we talked about it last week. We both liked him, his betting odds. But I think the third person's probably the most interesting. Who'd you go with?
I went with Greinke.
I went with Darvish. I didn't really know where to go.
Okay.
And that's I thought the Cubs are smart front office, smart player development. They could probably do something with him.
I mean, there's a lot of Greinke, Darvish, Strasburg, Scherzer.
Yeah, Scherzer. Not having Scherzer feels extremely stupid.
Yeah. No, but there's a lot of really – a lot of the high-end pitching talent is consolidated in the NL right now.
And you know what I like about your Greinke pick is the humidor.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wanted my rankings to tell a story, right? So, like, if I have the Diamondbacks making the wild card, I liked having Goldschmidt.
Oh, you're someone who cares about consistency.
Well, only like
internal consistency.
Only in this instance, really.
Okay.
My history.
I was gonna say I'm not familiar with that, but
but that's a little bit what I was going for. I'd rather be a lot right or all the way wrong, and you know, I'm usually all the way wrong. So
yeah, but you know,
we both had Acuña, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah, and I said I had Brinson on the list.
Yep. My second is Kingery.
Okay. Sure. I just wasn't sure how they're going to work the playing time, what that's all going to look like. You know, I don't know. I did not put Kingery on my list at all.
Right. Well, I gave it to him because he's going to be up on opening day. So
yeah, no, that makes total sense. Nick Senzel was my third pick.
You are going to fucking hate my third pick.
Oh, no.
You know who it is.
No, I don't.
Look deep inside yourself.
No, I don't know.
It's Jesse Winker.
Oh, God. Come on. Are you at least going to couch it because he's on the opening day roster?
He's on the opening day roster. He's going to bat lead off a bunch. It's not a terrible offense.
Does the fact that he's not good bother you at all?
I don't think he's bad. I just think he's not good. Jesse Winker is going to hit .282 with like 11 homers, but score 84 runs, and you're gonna be sad when he finishes third.
I don't think I even have to worry about it. Like, it's just not going to happen.
I will say this. There's 0% chance he wins. So if this was supposed to be, like, an indication of who we think is the best chance of winning, he wouldn't be on it. But I think I'm very confident he'll finish between third and seventh in NL Rookie of the Year voting.
Okay. What a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, well, that's Jesse Winker.
Do you – who else – were you considering anyone else? Did you have anyone else on there, like, the – potential list? Robles? Neither of us picked Robles.
No, I don't think the Nationals have so many options. I don't know if he's going to get the playing time. It's not an indication, not a mark on his skill level, just I don't think he's going to get the playing time.
Yeah, you did not say either Colin Moran or Fancy Dog Kyle Moran?
Yo, fuck both those versions of Colin Moran. No, not into it at all. Brinson, I can see, especially, you know, because if it's close, someone can make the defense argument for him.
Yeah. And he's on the roster from day one. I like that.
Right. Exactly. I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head.
Walker Buehler was like on my consideration list.
No, not for me.
So obviously Flaherty. Not. I mean, Alex Reyes is an option.
Yeah, he's an option, but he's probably going to be a non-closing reliever. So.
Yeah, Ryan McMahon, too much playing time.
Battles. McMahon, I think I had in my initial draft, but I was worried about the playing time.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about this. He was a late consideration for me in the AL, but Kyle Tucker, do you think he sees time this year?
No, because of the talent in front of him. I mean, I think he sees time, but not enough for this
reward. Not enough, yeah.
But I love Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
That was my pick.
I can see it. I mean, I guess you're not a believer in Derek Fisher, George?
Well, no, I just think Tucker's good enough that if somehow he got the opportunity, like Ben said, storyline, good team, if he comes out and hits a ton
in an extended opportunity. National attention.
Yeah.
That type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all.
I can see it. I don't know. I don't think I have anyone else in the NL.
All right. Well, that just leaves one question.
Did
you pick the Dodgers as your World Series winner?
I did. I felt a little bit like a homer. I try not to be a homer. They were one game away from it last year. Like, they're the best team in the NL, right?
It's not super.
I'm not saying far and away the best team, but like, I think they're.
I think the best team is the Cubs in the NL, okay. But I don't think it's crazy to say the Dodgers.
Okay.
I picked the Nationals because they've been close for a long time. And if the high end talent all manages to stay healthy at the right time, they're going to be very dangerous in the playoffs.
I'm a little bit surprised at you
for picking the Nationals.
Yeah, it's not that it's a bad pick, but you are someone who likes to perpetuate a joke, and you've not won a division series. And I think putting yourself at odds with that is I'm surprised.
Well, you mentioned this earlier in the podcast. I sort of win either way now.
That's true. That's a good point.
Their hit list is very easy. Or...
The championship series loss just completely screws you.
That's true. But, I'm confident with what I did.
Yeah, no, I respect it. If you were going to pick an AL team, who are you taking? Astros, I'm assuming?
Yeah, the Astros.
I think that's the obvious one.
I mean, I want to be a homer and say they're Red Sox, but I don't think they're in the Astros league.
I mean, as you said, like, it's Astros and then a gap. Like, I think even the Indians are a hot take, and it's weird to say that because it's a very good team. But
I would take the Indians after the Yankees and Red Sox, frankly.
Interesting.
They are shallow AF.
Yeah, they are. But what they're a little bit like a better version of the Mets.
I was gonna say worse version of the Nationals. So I think we're both
okay.
Right.
Yeah, we're right in there. Okay, you want to go to the third segment here?
Yeah, so there was a segment on ESPN the other day. Well, ESPN was airing, rather, one of the Red Sox final spring training games of the year, and they had Mookie Betts mic'd up while he was in the field. So Mookie Betts is talking to the broadcaster.
Huge fan of this move, by the way.
Yeah, oh, it's absolutely is a must. But they're talking to Mookie Betts, and all of a sudden the hitter hits an absolute smoke line drive to right field. And Mookie's in the middle of a sentence and gets on his high horse. And all of a sudden he says, oh, I ain't going to catch up to this one, boys, because he knew the ball was like 30 feet over his head. And everyone in the booth cracked up. And it was just like, I don't know, just a very funny, good-natured sort of human moment where like, yes, you're playing a sport. But I don't know. It was lulzworthy. And it shows that these guys have actual personalities. So it got us thinking about the players we would most like to have be mic'd up during actual MLB game action. So Craig, you lead it off. Who's your one of your primary guys here?
I picked Todd Frazier. He seems like he's like a loud, I can't call him a large adult son, but he's kind of like a large adult dad at this point.
Okay.
And like he hoots and hollers, and I don't know. I just think he's
dad is one of my new favorite. Adult dad is V strong.
I think he really qualifies, and he's just like he's very Jersey, which I appreciate. And I think he's like a rowdy. He's a rowdy, not a boy. He's a rowdy man.
He's a rowdy dad.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think he'd be. I think he'd have fun with it. Like, I think he's also a bit of a ham. So yeah. I like that. And but going back to Betts, like I legitimately like we G-chatted the link to each other and really enjoyed it. But like I'm thinking about it, like is that an athlete funny thing? Like was it only funny because it was like unexpected as a athlete saying it?
Like I found the like casualness of it to be funny. Just because, like, you expect – I mean, it's spring training, which is probably why, but you just, like, expect someone to be more upset, whereas he basically was like, welp. Like, he did the baseball version of WELP on the broadcast.
Yeah.
Because, like, what the hell is he supposed to do about it at that point? So, I don't know. I found it refreshing.
Yeah, I really – it was – yeah, I agree. It was, like, a moment of candor that was
– yeah, exactly. Like, I'd rather have that than,
charming,
like,
somehow.
Fucking, like, Kevin Youkilis, like throwing his helmet and threatening to commit ritualistic suicide because he couldn't get to a pop-up in spring training. Like, I thought it was funnier that Betts was just like, yeah, shruggy emoji. Like,
right, like I know it's spring training. I'm gonna get this
one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was relatable, which I appreciate.
It was relatable. We've all had those fly balls not end up in our gloves.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, we've all had moments that you taught me a valuable lesson at one point several years ago. It just said, you're not going to win them all, you know? And he's not going to get that one.
When did I teach you this lesson?
Oh, this was like, I think like the second or third article I wrote for BP. We'd obviously been writing at TDG a while, and I really, like, I liked my first few articles. So I don't know, maybe it was the third or fourth one, but like, I just like, it wasn't clicking for me when I was writing something. And you, in all your compassion.
Yeah.
We're just like, I don't know, it's like 1 a.m. and I'm like just like stressing over the fact that like this isn't like a good article, and you just go, well, you're not gonna win them all. And I think I've really taken that to heart, and I don't know if I've won one since, frankly.
My strive to be perfect is just never it's just very impressive.
So who's your guy?
So I already told you, but I want like peak Carlos Gomez mic'd up. This is a man who how do you even say this?
I don't know. It's hard to. I'm gonna look up the story.
Wasn't sure how to talk to rich people, so looked it up and read that rich people ate kiwis, so would just bring up kiwis all the fucking time, as one does. And basically, I want that type of guy to just – I want to hear his stream of consciousness in the field. Plus, he was also like a hothead when he was younger and was always stirring up stuff. So I think if we could get like 2012, 2011 Carlos Gomez mic'd up, he'd be pretty high up there for me.
Yeah, so I got the article. George, I'm going to ask you to put it in the show notes for people, because if they haven't seen this or haven't seen it in a little bit, it's worth going back to. So – there's an anecdote told by Ryan Braun, and it says, Braun says that recently Gomez informed him, while holding a plate full of kiwi, that the fruit had 3 times as much potassium as bananas. I asked him how he heard it, Braun says, and he told me, now that he's wealthy, he's been Googling rich people conversation, so he knows what to talk to wealthy people about, and he came across that data.
This is perfect.
It's so good.
Oh man, yeah, that's my pick.
It's fantastic. I don't know. I just off the top of my head, like I'm not gonna top that. That's gonna be, you know, historically, I'd love Ricky Henderson would have been a top.
Oh nut. Sure.
I don't know. Right now, I think Adrian Beltre would be fun. Maybe Adrian Beltre and Felix Hernandez in a game against each other. I'd very much appreciate.
Or Beltre and Andres.
Elvis Andrews, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm trying. George brought this up, but if you could just John Lackey just like yelling fuck at you for like 4 hours during a start would be kind of funny.
I don't think it would be 4 hours. I think it would just be 4 hours punctuated. But like it's just dead silence.
Just a lot of grunting and then fuck.
Yeah. Grunting, heavy breathing, and fuck.
That's a bad date.
It's not a good situation.
It's not great. I guess the last pick in this instance would be Brian McCann, right?
Yeah, no one wants that.
No one wants to hear Brian McCann mic'd up. or really expressed opinions about anything ever again. I will say I think he gets a little bit of a raw deal based on that, like, one reaction. But
yeah, well, it was a couple. He had two reactions, right? It was Jose Fernandez and there was another one. But still, I he seems fine, like, as a person.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like there's a really obvious one that we're missing, but, I mean, I would have obviously loved to hear David Ortiz.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll think about it more. Maybe we'll see if we have better answers next week.
George, did you have anyone? I throw this to you.
No, Lackey was a good one.
Yeah. All right. I just wasn't sure if we were missing someone obvious.
I feel like D. Gordon is extremely funny.
Yeah, all right. I can get behind Gordon.
Plus, he's in center, and he's never really played it, so you might get some weird plays, too, that happen.
I got to tell you, but I assume you agree with me on this. Trout would not be good.
No, he'd be so boring. He would just be like, oh, there's a cumulus cloud, and I'm really good at baseball. I'm assuming that would be his entire spiel.
Yeah.
Not a fan. I mean, I think I want to say Enya, but I think we already know what she'd say.
Only time.
Welcome back to episode 104 of Tino. As always, we'll send you out with a little housekeeping. Please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever platform you use to listen to us. Every positive review helps, and we usually enjoy reading your feedback. You can follow us on Twitter at Tino Podcast and get in touch with us through email at tinopodcast@gmail.com. You can find the absent Brett Sayer at Brett Sayer BP. You can find Craig at CD. That's CD as in
Cloud Describer
Goldstein. You can find our producer George at George Bissell. And you can find me at Ben Carsley. Thanks for listening and have a good night.
All right, well, you didn't pick the hit list for my article.
Oh. No, didn't.
Try to sneak it in there. I mean, I'm not going to write for like 4 months, so it's pretty depressing.
We're doing okay keeping them to about an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good. Do either of you have a CD? I hadn't thought of one.
I don't.
Cloud Describer.
Ooh,
good. Oh, not George. Bad, George. Very George, nice. George,
very good.
George, this is your best Tino, George.
Thank you.